There he is at the back. He's going to run in. Is going to, in a moment, just share our next person that Jesus met, which is Nicodemus. Before then we've got to read. Now, originally, I prepared this reading, printed out, and Jackie's name was on it, but somehow it seems to have arrived in Susanna's hands. So you're going to get your turn, Jackie. But Susanna, do you want to read this week?
Hello. So the reading's taken from John 3, and it's verses 1 to 21. And, Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can somebody be born again? How can somebody be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone, both of the spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "And do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the world loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Here ends.
Amen. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Scriptures, Father, that we honor above all other words, Lord. And we just want to pray as Tom preaches your word to us, Lord. Would you open our hearts? Would you open our minds, Lord? Father, would you give us hearts not only to hear, but to obey in Jesus' name? Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much. Beautifully read. It's a long one. So my name's Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Patrick. Hi. So great to be here. Like, I'm having an amazing day. If that's it, like, that would be incredible. But there's more. Jesus has got even more for us today. So I've recently joined. As Nick said, I'm from Revelation Church. Well, I was. now part of the church on Bassett Street. Yes, amazing, spontaneous whoops. So it's been great to join with you guys and start to get to know everyone. Just feels like family. You know, I look around and some people's names I know, some people I don't, but yeah, it's brilliant, it's beautiful. I've got a wife called Flo. She's taken my boys off. I think they're having lunch now, Asher and Cyrus. If you haven't seen them, you've probably heard them. They got a lot of life. So I'm going to be preaching about this passage. You might want to have it open if you like to follow along. It's John chapter 3. I'm going to have the verses that I'm focusing on up on the screen. But if you want it open, now's the time. So, Nicodemus. So, he comes to Jesus talking about Jesus' teaching and talking about Jesus' miracles. So I don't know why you guys are here today. It's a beautiful day. Why are you indoors? You've all come to hear about Jesus. Maybe you've come because you love his teaching. You need his teaching. Maybe you've come for miracles. Yeah? Those are both amazing reasons to come to Jesus. And he is ready to teach you. He is ready to heal you. And he's going to be teaching you now. He's going to be healing people today. I have faith for that as well. But he has even more for you. Even more for you guys. So let's see Nicodemus. He comes for the teaching, comes because of the miracles. Give you a bit of context. So Jesus has been doing some stuff. He's been turning water into wine at a wedding. He's been in the temple, healing people in the temple, teaching, and people have started to believe in him. People have started to follow him. So we come to this character, this person, this real person. Look around the room. Look at the people in the room. Nicodemus was a person, like one of you in this room, like any of you. Jesus was a person. They walked this earth. Let's not study this as a history book. Let's not study this as like a fictional book or just like an abstract lesson to learn from in theory. These are real people. These are real events. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And we heard that Nicodemus is a Pharisee, so he's of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. I wonder why. He's got a lot to lose by being seen with Jesus. Jesus is not massively popular with the Jewish ruling council. He's coming and teaching with authority, and he's not one of them. But Nicodemus calls him rabbi, and Jesus hasn't had the formal training. He wouldn't have been recognized as a rabbi through the formal channels, but he's been recognized by Nicodemus as a teacher, as a rabbi. And not only that, but a teacher from God. And Nicodemus says he knows Jesus could not work miracles if God were not with him. So maybe you're here today because of Jesus' teaching. You know that God is with Jesus. You want to listen to someone if God is with them. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus because of his teaching and his miracles. And Jesus tells him about the kingdom and being born again. So Jesus loves to exceed our expectations. He's like, I hear your miracles and teaching. I will raise that. There is more for you. There's this thing called the kingdom of God. There's this thing called being born again. Okay? I'm not just a teacher. Nicodemus says, no one could perform the signs you are doing. No one could perform the miracles you are doing. Jesus says, okay, talking about seeing miracles. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Nicodemus says, I cannot enter a second time into their mummy's tummy to be born. That's my modern translation for my children. How could a person get back into their mummy's tummy? How could that happen? It's a silly picture. Jesus says, well, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. So I don't know about you, but sometimes do you wish you could live your life again, or maybe a bit of your life, or maybe your body is giving you trouble and you wish you could have a new body. Well, one day in the new heavens, the new earth, restored humanity, we will have new bodies. There won't be a single tear, ache, pain, stress, guilt, anger. But for now, Jesus brings healing. The kingdom has come in part, but we all know that he doesn't keep us immune from all suffering. We all have suffering. We all either suffer ourselves or suffer because the ones we love are suffering. Some of you are sitting here in pain right now. physical pain, emotional pain, but you're here. But Jesus has got something good for you. He wants to heal you, and he's going to give you perfect healing one day. But he's also got other things for you. There's a kingdom. So, this kingdom of God, being born again, what does it mean? If it doesn't mean to go back into your mother's womb, thank goodness, what does it mean? Does it mean just having another physical life? It means that you become a child of God. He came to that which was his own. Jesus came to preach into his family, to the Jewish people he was born into. But his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now, most of you guys here, I don't know everyone, but I know lots of people here who follow Jesus, who believe in Jesus, they've repented of their sins, they put their trust in God. They're not following themselves anymore, they're following God. And I'm telling you guys what you are. I don't know if you saw a mirror this morning. I don't know if you looked at your reflection. Some people don't like doing that. Some people like doing a bit too much. But when you're looking in that reflection, yeah, that's a picture of you to some extent, in an earthly sense, in a natural sense. But I'm going to tell you, and telling myself as well, the reality about you, a deeper reality than what you look like physically. This is deep spiritual truths that are more sure and certain than anything else about your identity. Even deeper than the fact you are married or the fact that you're that person's child biologically. This is even deeper. This is eternal truth that have begun in your life as a child of God. Now, this is a promise in Ezekiel when God's people were, all kinds of rebellion going on. But in the midst of that, God's making these promises of redemption to his people. And this is a promise for people who are born again. They are clean, given a new heart and a new spirit. And we're going to read this scripture, and you're going to help me out. This is God speaking to his people, telling his people what he's going to do to them. What he's going to do. So as I read it, I want you guys to read the I wills in yellow. Not as some kind of strange marriage service. Don't worry. Just because we're in a church. This is just us saying the words that God said. God promised. God will do this. So when I get to the I will bits, you guys are going to say them with me, okay? Ready? It's a quick one to start with. I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, in the passage we read, Nicodemus, when he's speaking to Jesus and Jesus responds, Jesus says that, very truly I tell you, verse 5, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. I was thinking of baptism when I read that, which is this amazing, amazing laying down of your life to follow Jesus, where you go into the water, dying to your old life, dying to living to please other people, to live up to your own expectations, and coming out in the new life that Jesus gives you. And it definitely has those connotations in the passage, but some Bible commentators say that when Jesus says that, and no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit, they think it's a reference back to this promise in Ezekiel of this clean water. Before Jesus was walking the earth, this promise to come, this forgiveness of being washed clean. Another promise. For those who are born again, they love God. They obey him and overcome the world. Obeying is not a popular word. It can have so many negative connotations. I didn't like the word until I had my own kids, and then it became a very important word to me. And please pray for me, I'm not saying it's happening. look at the way that God tells us obedience works. Look what it leads to, okay? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. So when you obey God, you are free. You're free from following whatever pressure from the enemy, from other people, from yourself. You're free from that when you obey God. He has a path of life for you. Throughout Proverbs, keeps talking about taking the path of life rather than the path of death. As someone was explaining that to me recently and saying, life is more than the presence of a pulse, and death is more than just the absence of a pulse. So God has a path of life for you. He has life in all its fullness. When you choose his life every day, it's not just that you're still breathing. That is true. Every breath comes from him. But it's a life. You're living life. You're full of life. It's life-giving. You're bringing life to the people around you. And when you obey his commands, they are good commands. He's given you this path of life, and he wants to guide you in that. So everyone born of God obeys his commands and overcomes the world. Overcomes. Doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer or be tempted. Jesus suffered. Jesus was tempted. And we're not just following Jesus' example. He's promising to do this, to make us new spiritually so we can actually do this. And then lastly, those who are born again love others. Again, look around the room. Take a look around. Yeah? Do you love these guys? Do you really love them? Are you grumbling? Is someone annoying you? Is someone, probably someone you're related to? But do you love these people? Do you love them? Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. It's beautiful. I was talking to my friend's cousin, came around last night, and he's an atheist. He's the son of a preacher, and no one started singing. That's good. And he, not yet. And he said, oh, I'm an atheist. Don't believe any of that. But then he saw on my fridge, I had the 1 Corinthians 13. All this beautiful, beautiful truth about love. All that beauty about love. And he was saying, do you know what? That is the one verse I could get on board with out of the Bible. This guy's not born again, but there's a little chink in his armor. Yeah? His dad's prayers, we pray that they would be effective. You know, there's a chink there. He loves, he recognizes that God's love. There's something in that. There's something in that love in the Bible. Okay, so that's what it means to be born again, to become a child of God, to be made clean. So you guys here, you put your trust in Jesus, you are a child of God. You are clean. You have a new heart, a new spirit. You don't have that heart of stone anymore. You have a heart of flesh. The devil tries to tell you that you don't. The devil tries to tell you you're dirty. When we were singing that song earlier, You Are Good, I was reminded at one bit, well, we're all singing God's good, but most of the time in our lives, we've got this enemy whispering in our ear if we listen to him. God is bad. God is bad. So bad. The world tells us that. Or maybe they just say, you are bad. And it's how it all started in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say, has God got the best for you? Is God really good? Is there more? And we need to remember that song. God is good. Not only God is good, you are good. Pray to him. Sing that song over yourself this week. When you start being tempted to lose your faith in him, is he going to provide for this? Is he going to bring healing? Does he care about me? He is good. Okay, so that's what it means to be born again. What is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is where God reigns, where Jesus is king. Quite simple, isn't it? So in this country, we have a queen. She doesn't have ultimate power over this country, but imagine if the queen was here today and we would want to honor that the queen was visiting. That would be a big deal. We wouldn't let her stand around with no chair, would we? And then maybe we'd go to, obviously that's a ridiculous example, but imagine that there was like a, you know, big ceremony, and then Prince Charles, her son, he's in line to the throne, isn't he? But he's not the king. So imagine if you look at Buckingham Palace, and on the throne is Prince Charles, and the Queen's just sat on a lovely throne next to him, like that. That would be so wrong, wouldn't it? Because the king is only really the king when they're on the throne. Jesus is the king. He needs to be on the throne of your heart. Yeah? He doesn't need your power, but you can resist him. You can not give him all of your heart. You can leave bits of your heart where you don't put your full trust in him. Or maybe in your thoughts, you don't quite trust him. He is the king. He demands to be on the throne. And he will let things happen to you to teach you that he is the king. And he will be with you and give you compassion, but you'll look back in your life and think, wow, it was in those times I really knew that I had nothing else to lean on. He is my king. And he gives his people victory over sin, Satan, and death. He is a powerful king. The people, the Pharisees, the Jewish people, they wanted a Messiah. They were reading the scriptures. They wanted a Messiah, someone to come and release them from the Roman rule, someone to build the temple big again, to have the power to destroy their enemies. And Jesus was not what they thought he would be. There was disappointment. There was disappointment, but he was better. He was actually better because he was building a temple of people across the generations. You are living stones being built together with Jesus as the cornerstone. That was his plan for the temple. There's no building in the world that's as grand as that over generations of people. He also, gives people victory. And he was doing something spiritually. He was giving spiritual life, not just physical release for these people. They were still under Roman rule. The church, they were persecuted. But he had this spiritual life for them. He was building them into something so much bigger. So how can this be? It sounds good to be born again, to enter the kingdom of God, the place where Jesus reigns. Even if that's not a big temple that we can see physically, we can see Jesus reigning in people's hearts. Everyone here surrender to Jesus, living for him. So how can it be? Jesus must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up. So, Jesus says, talking about himself, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So Jesus talks about what's going to happen to himself. Jesus was not defeated. He was not tricked. He walked and he laid his life down on the cross. There's a beautiful old English poetry. And when this country, this island that we live on, was a real pagan country. God is not English. This is not this Christian island. We were pagans for a long time. We took a long time to get the gospel here. And when we did, we were into a lot of pagan stuff, medieval stuff, warriors. Our literature was poetry around that. There's this beautiful poem called The Dream of the Rood. And rood was an old English word for the cross. And in this dream, this poem, it's very like imaginative reading of the scripture, the cross is speaking. And it has this whole metaphor through the poem of the cross being Jesus mounting the cross like a warrior going into battle. Jesus willingly got on the cross for us. He knew what was going to happen. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Strange picture here, strange story that is referred to from Numbers 21. Jesus knew his scriptures. He knew that they pointed to him. So in Numbers 21, you don't have to turn to it, but if you want to make a note, see, Israel, God's people, you know, there's ups and downs, there's rebellion, there's lack of faith. It says in verse 4, from Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water. We loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died.
And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you." So this is repentance. God allows something to happen, and then there's repentance. "Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. So this picture, God didn't take away the snakes. Didn't. They were still there. There was threat, there was suffering. But he did provide a way for people to live. And we can see this pointing to Jesus. So why did God do this? And what must I do? Why did God allow his son to be lifted up? Why this plan? Why all this sacrifice? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only son. So in some ways, there's not really much difference between people sat here who are born again and people out in the street, or maybe sat here who are not born again. There's loads of differences. There's loads of differences in the fact you're a child of God, you're sprinkled clean, born of God, this new life. But you're there because God chose you. We heard that coming through in the beautiful contributions people made. God chose you. You believed in him. It's not about what you've done. How good it's not about what we've done. Because that might be quite good right now. And you're like, yeah, I've been singing my heart out. I gave money. I'm good. But that's not good news in a week when you mess up, when your world is broken, you hurt people. If it was about what you've done, then you're done. That's suddenly rocked everything you thought. But it's not. It's not about what you've done. God loves you the same when you're pouring your heart out, singing to him. He loves you exactly the same as later in the week when you're sat there and you know you've sinned. And you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've done wrong. I've hurt that person. I've disobeyed God. I've brought some kind of brokenness to people or to myself. He loves you exactly the same as when you're singing. You're just as beautiful to him. You're just as loved. You're just as much a child of God. And the enemy in those moments, that's the moments the enemy will choose. Like, he probably won't now. I'll let them have their singing now. I'll let them have their party. I'm getting them. You know, road rage, you know, in that traffic, or, you know, that admin, or that family member, or, you know, or that diagnosis from the doctor. He'll choose this moment to tell you God is bad. So we have to be ready. We have to pray. We have to remember this, not just now, let's remember this in a week about the truth about us. So what happened to Nicodemus? I didn't know. Nicodemus later speaks up for Jesus. He's not just walking around at night anymore. He's the one who'd gone to Jesus earlier, and he was one of their own number. He's one of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the Jewish rulers, they're trying to arrest Jesus. Trying to arrest him. He's stirring things up. And Nicodemus challenges them. He speaks against his own people to defend Jesus. He says, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it and you'll find a prophet does not come out of Galilee." So he's suffering some persecution. He's no longer afraid to speak up for Jesus. And then, when Jesus was being buried by Joseph of Arimathea, he wanted there to be a proper burial for him. And guess who's named? Guess who comes along to help with this burial? It's Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. So Nicodemus did his best for Jesus. He brought of his best. He brought this precious, precious myrrh. I mean, that reminds us of the birth of Jesus, doesn't it? 75 pounds, if you could just go back again. And he wraps his body with these strips of linen, the spices. So he's trying to, people did this to preserve bodies, didn't they? You know, we want to preserve it. The person's died, we respect them. We want to protect them from the body's disintegration. But Jesus has something better, doesn't he? The strips of linen, now you guys, you know what happens to those strips of linen, don't you? They get laid, folded down in the tomb. They're not needed anymore. They're not needed anymore because Jesus rose from the grave. He willingly laid down his life. He was without sin. He was able to take up his life with all authority. This is the man that we are following. This is the man who's made his home here with us, who's given of his spirit to us. This God-man who's provided a way. He has taken all the burden on himself so that we would believe and repent. We have our burdens taken and we are free to walk out. And this kingdom of God is started already. So Nicodemus came to Jesus for teaching and miracles. Jesus tells him about the kingdom and being born again. Pray there's going to be healing today, but also for us to be reminded about how we're born again, that we are in the kingdom. Jesus must be lifted up. Nicodemus speaks up in persecution. Nicodemus loved Jesus. I prayed for a colleague of mine this last 2 weeks ago, and amazingly she was healed. It wasn't me, it was God. You know, pain went from her. But she has other pains. She has other problems with her body. She has financial problems that haven't been solved yet. So she's still suffering. She has so much joy. And I know that I don't have to worry about her because she is safe. She's in the kingdom. She's born again. She's good. So I want to thank you, Lord, that all of us here have been born again. We're in the kingdom. We are good. But we pray for healing. We pray for release. We pray for freedom in all the ways that we haven't overcome the world quite. Ways in which we're learning. But we thank you that you are good, we're good, we're safe. And we pray for those here today who don't know that, who can't identify with those things. And pray for those who like the sound of those things. Lord, we thank you that you are calling everyone, all tribes, nations, and tongues to follow you, to lay down their burdens and to allow you to take them so they can be free and they can be born again and enter your kingdom today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Tom. I want to give an opportunity, if you're here today and you've never put your trust in Jesus, to do that. We believe in faith that we will see many coming to know Jesus in this area. Many people walk through these church doors who've never heard about Jesus and become part of this community. And I want to encourage us as believers with this scripture from 1 John. And hopefully, if anyone's here who doesn't know Jesus, they might go, I want a bit of that. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. It's beautiful. Because we have put our trust in Jesus, we can be called children of God. That we have a hope that goes way beyond the grave. And by having that hope, we are purified. Not because of anything special. You're all wonderful people, I'm sure. But you're not pure. Only Jesus can make us pure. Because he himself was pure. So I'm going to pray. And the band are going to sing a song and then we'll close after that. Maybe you want to stand as I pray. And if you're here today and this is the first time you've never given your life to Jesus, as I pray, you might agree with what I pray and might want to seek him in this moment. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that when we come looking for certain things, you know what we need. You know we need your kingdom. And your love, because we are your children. And I lift up my dear brothers and sisters here today, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to know the hope that goes beyond the grave, the hope that is in you, the hope that purifies us because you yourself were pure. We recognize that we are saved not by anything, but by your grace and your grace alone. And I pray for anyone here today who knows that they don't currently follow you. I pray, Lord, that they would have seen you this morning. And I pray that they would know your love towards them. That yes, they may not feel pure, but Jesus, you were. And by your purity, Lord, we can have hope. And I lift them up to you today now. If that's you, maybe you just want to say to Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know that love. I want to know your kindness. And I want to put my trust in you today. And if you've done that for the first time today, Nick or I would love to speak to you just to help you on this journey of faith. Please come and find us at the end of the service. But we're going to sing now. We're going to sing a song that reminds us of who our Lord is. All that he's done for us. That's why we love singing songs, isn't it? To remind ourselves. And I'll come back and help us close the service in a second. Let's sing.